It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Alan Thomas. He is an author. He's got an op-ed that we'll be putting out in the newsletter this Sunday. And Alan, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Kim. Thanks for having me.
And your op-ed is regarding education. And then we're also going to have an op-ed. Patty has put a lot of thought into one regarding this Initiative 25. It's also about education. It's called LEAP, and she's really delved into that. And so be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter so you get the first look at that. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and thank you to each and every one of you who support us. I really appreciate that. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're each treasured and valued. You have purpose. Strive for excellence. Live with intention and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I know that it seems daunting out there sometimes with what's going on. However, know that you were made for this time. And so step into this each and every day. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. You are one of your favorite days of the week, Steve. It's Friday.
It's the one.
And I really do appreciate all the great work that you do. And a lot's going on out there. Be sure and check out our America's Veterans Story show. That is this Sunday. It'll be on from 3 to 4 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. Our guest is one of the Cooper's Troopers guys, a Vietnam Marine veteran, and that's Tim Hall. And he's written a book, Marines Never Cry, Becoming a Man When It Mattered. So you will want to tune into that on Sunday, 3 to 4 or 10 to 11. And then something very important is happening tomorrow, and that is Sergeant Donald Loy Stoddard, United States Marine Corps, World War II. He survived the battles at Guadalcanal, but he was killed at Tarawa on November 22nd, 1943, and his remains are coming home to his final resting place. And those services are going to be at Mountain View Memorial Park tomorrow, Saturday, June 26th, and would really recommend if you can be there. It's going to be powerful, and to pay our respects to a young man who died many, many years ago. And it's remarkable, Alan Thomas, that there's a group that's going out there and finding the remains of our soldiers and bringing them home. I think that's National Honor Flight. And I'm not sure. I think that they were involved in this as well. But it's pretty remarkable that they have found his bones and they're bringing them home.
That's just so amazing. What a great honor to the people that serve this country.
Yes. And so tomorrow, 10 o'clock up in Boulder. And this show's brought to you by a lot of great sponsors. One of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That's Loveland, Westminster, Lone Tree, Aurora, Colorado Springs. The girls were over on Wednesday night, and I got some of their smoked wings. And I have to say, they're the best wings I ever have, and they're from Hooters Restaurants. And Wednesdays are actually Wings Day. So for dine-in or to-go, you can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. So that's a good day to do that. But go to my website, kimmunson.com. Click on the sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them, and click on the Hooters tab, and you'll get all their special Saturdays. Kids eat free with the purchase of an adult entree. And so be sure and remember that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Alan Thomas, if something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it.
Exactly. And a lot of these issues that progressives had are rooted in exactly that. They're rooted in control, and they're rooted in living your life for you and telling you how to live.
I'd rather live my own life.
most of us really would when we really think about it.
And people seem to like this idea, socialism about this free stuff. But socialism isn't about free stuff. That's the carrot that they use to get you to vote for socialism. And nothing is for free. They have to take it from somebody. And at some point in time, they're going to take it from you, too. And it is never compassionate. When I started this, Alan, I started this with, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, but their property. Then we saw freedom, livelihood during the pandemic and the reaction there when they closed down our small businesses via force. And again, in the old days, it was a weapon. They'd ride in, they'd take the women and children and everything. But now it's policy and unpredictable and excessive taxation. We're adding in fear, coercion. We're the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation.
Kim, remember that meme that it's been a year or so now, ever since the problems in Venezuela became so apparent. It was a picture of a female soldier in the jungles of Venezuela staring around a tree, peering around a tree, and the caption read, "Socialism, you can vote your way into it, but you'll have to shoot your way out of it."
That's why elections matter, Alan Thomas, these days, because we are on the precipice. We are seeing socialists being voted into office across our cities, in a number of offices, and we even see it in Congress. And that is why elections matter, Alan Thomas.
Well, and you see the other half of that, right? The progressive Marxist ideal is good people serving the people, right? But how many politicians have we seen taking bribes or handouts or tarmac meetings? You just see so much corruption with power, which is what our founding fathers said, is they don't trust people with power because we don't live in this utopia. We don't live in this perfect world. People are broken. People are fallen. They will make mistakes. So how do we prevent those mistakes from hurting other people? Thousands of people, a whole country, you limit it. You shackle it down with a constitution. You bind down the power that they should have. And you basically say utopia is a nice ideal, but I'm probably only going to see that when I die.
Yeah, a lot of people get hurt on the road to utopia.
Yeah, shockingly.
Shockingly. And that is why these elections matter. That's why the conversations that we have are so important, because we've remained silent for so long. And they used to say, you don't talk about politics or religion in polite company. We were polite. We didn't. And then what happened was the socialists were out there taking over institutions. You just mentioned the word tarmac. Did you see this? This just happened within the last few weeks. The Alabama TV anchor who broke the news story of the infamous 2016 tarmac meeting between former President Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch died of suicide at the age of 45.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was referencing.
Yes. It's, and I'm not sure
people
knew that.
A little coincidental.
Another Clinton suicide.
Well, now, we don't know for sure that, but it is, I did just want to make sure.
Who was the first one? Vince Foster?
The point we're making here is that there are many people that have been close to the Clintons that have died from suicide. And it's curious. I'm just going to say that. It's just curious.
Very curious.
Very, very curious. So let's continue on, though. We're going to be talking about education. And you said that school choice is only half the issue. And you always make me think, Alan Thomas. And I hear that from listeners. They say they love having you on here.
Well, and this issue is, it kind of goes along with this conversation that we're having where, you know, we were told not to talk about politics. And the problem is for decades now, kids aren't getting that good civic knowledge, not only at home, but also from their teachers. You know, the Marxists and the progressives knew to take over the institution of education. They've done an excellent job for decades now. They have played an incredibly good long game. And now we have kids who don't have this core fundamental civic knowledge, which is one of the four virtues of good citizenship that the founding fathers said we needed to have as a nation.
Well, and our kids are falling behind. And when we, I referenced this op-ed that Patty's doing regarding this LEAP initiative, it's Initiative 25, and it's really being pushed by progressives, and they're trying to say that there's some school choice in that. But Patty really delved into it, and if we think there's some school choice in it, we're kidding ourselves. I'm not going to. You're going to have to read the op-ed. I want to tease both your op-eds so that people will do that. But and the premise is they're going to tax marijuana more, and another 5% tax on marijuana. At some point in time, when taxes get so high on a particular product, it creates more of a black market, Alan Thomas.
Well, isn't that the old premise? Hey, let's just tax things more, and they throw kids, they throw welfare out there. They basically say they're going to tax us more for what, at what point? And at what point do we have to say results matter? You know, we're throwing trillions of dollars at education as a country now, and like you said, the schooling of our kids is demonstrably worse. So at what point is just throwing money at an issue, are we going to say, hey, the bureaucracy is failing us, more money isn't going to fix it, we need to start working on this at a deeper level?
Well, and our kids are falling behind, and there are a lot of great teachers out there, and I think that we would want to get more money to those great teachers out there, but there's so much money that's being spent on education, and our kids are falling behind. And I submit to you, Alan Thomas, one of the reasons is because of what is happening during the school day. Instead of teaching our kids reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, civic knowledge, they're teaching critical race theory, the LGBTQ, sex ed curriculum, which basically is sexualizing our children. So instead of thinking about the mind, they're having kids focus on the physical. And so our kids are falling behind because of that, Alan.
Well, when you embrace this ideology and everything's racist, I saw an article the other day where they were saying math is racist now, where you can't have a specific answer that it's part of systemic racism, that math is part of that, because I don't know, because Newton and Galileo are from Europe. When you embrace this idea, when it hits the real world, it's no wonder that these kids are going, wow, my education system failed me. And it's no wonder that when we look on these younger generations, we're like, what are you even thinking?
Right. And the positive thing is through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, is parents had kids at home, they saw what they were being taught. They also saw that these teacher unions didn't really care about kids. And so the veil is off. It's being unmasked. And I find that that is exciting. That's why we do this show. That's why you write these op-eds. That's why we are having these conversations, so we can get our brains around these issues. But let's go to our quote for today. Because you're in studio and because we're talking about education, I was looking for education quotes. And found this one from B.B. King. And he was an American blues singer-songwriter, guitarist, and record producer. He introduced a sophisticated style of soloing based on fluid string bending, shimmering vibrato, and staccato, picking that influenced many later blues electric guitar players. He was born in 1925. He died in 2015. And this is what he said, Alan Thomas. He said, "The beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you."
Exactly. And you know, when we embrace this American idea, nobody can force you to learn something you don't want to learn either. Shouldn't be able to force you to learn. And we have this vast wealth of information available to us. The internet libraries, I know those are kind of out of vogue, but they should be back in. But just the amount of resources we have available, there's very little excuse for us not to be a well-educated people.
True that. The however on this is, I think that there is so much information that people feel overwhelmed, and sometimes they just throw up their hands and they say, I don't know. And that is why we search for truth and clarity. And once people see the truth, it really sheds light on so many different things. So, hey, Alan Thomas, we're going to go to break. We'll continue this conversation. But before we do that, I just, again, wanted to mention Hooters Restaurants. They're a great partner of both my shows, America's Veteran Stories and The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website for all those great partners that I have there. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Jay Sekulow, weekdays at 10 on KLZ 560.
Home repair questions and needs? Join us this Saturday at 9 a.m. for Fix It Radio right here on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support the show as we look at these issues, searching for truth and clarity and looking at them through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. You could actually persuade them. And someone that I know that does a lot of persuading, we're going to be talking about his op-ed in the third and fourth segment, is author Alan Thomas. It's always fun to have you in studio.
It's always great just having a conversation with you, Kim.
Yeah. Steve, during break, you mentioned that Alan had said that now there's people out there that say math is racist. And you had a comment on that.
Well, immediately, my first thought was went to the movie that came out in 2016 called Hidden Figures. Excuse me. It was the story about three women, African-American women mathematicians who became almost the core of doing all the crunch work in the mathematics arena. I mean, they were sitting there using slide rules, and you know, obviously calculators weren't out in the late 50s and early 60s, but they had such a huge role in helping NASA do what it was doing. And I thought, you're going to tell me mathematics is racist?
It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy.
Well, and as an engineer, math doesn't care whether you think it's racist or not. It's building is either structurally stable or it isn't, and the rocket's either going to make it back or it's going to run into the moon. I mean, there's no if, ands, or buts about
it. Right. And 1 + 1, even though a progressive might want to say that it's 3, it's not. It's always going to be 2. 1 + 1 is 2. So, hey, Steve, speaking of hidden figures, there is a hidden figure that has not been down to the border. But it looks like she's going to be headed down to the border. Now she'll no longer be hiding, huh?
What a great segue. Good grief. You're good. It's, I don't know the exact number, but we're coming up on 90 days since Biden appointed Kamala Harris as to be the overseer of the problem, or no.
The border czar or something.
Yeah, the situation at the border, dare I say problem. But, yeah, she's going today, and I said 2 weeks ago, I said, something's got to give. It was announced that Texas governor was invited Trump to go with him to the border. And I told you, I said, okay, the handlers, the Biden handlers cannot let this happen. They cannot let Trump beat Harris to the border. It would be the biggest blunder ever, political blunder, that is. So, yeah, she's going. I wish I could have seen the look on her face when they said, guess what? You got to go.
And what do you think, Alan?
Well, naturally, Trump took credit for it,
which he should.
I mean, when you wait that long politically, at some point he is forcing your hand. It reminds me of the AOC photo op that she did down there. You just wonder what she's going to say about it, where she's actually going to go. It'll be very interesting because they've dodged this issue for so long to see, because we, the American people, we aren't stupid. We know what's going on down there.
There's a few.
There's obviously a few, but
no, American people.
But I mean, this has been an issue for decades. I mean, this is something that Obama is on mic saying, Kamala herself, Joe Biden, you know, the entire time he's been in office, this, you know, our border has been immigration has been a big issue, and we've kind of kicked the can down the road for a while. And, you know, hopefully it leads to some change, but I'm just curious what type of change the progressive leaders up in Washington, D.C. are going to propose comes out of it.
Well, yes, they never let a crisis go to waste, for sure. Steve had found this from the Daily Wire and the Conservative. They said that Republicans are quick to note that Harris is only visiting a spot on the border where there are friendly Democrats, which is El Paso, Texas, and that are hosting her, and not the harder hit spots on the border where members of her own party have called her out. And in fact, there was also a town on the border. I can't remember. But anyway, they just recently elected a Republican mayor, and it was a town that had gone significantly for Hillary Clinton. So something's happening, Alan Thomas.
Something, but I mean, again, it's not shocking that they would go to someplace friendly when, I mean, our own president has cue cards of reporters he has to call on now. So,
yeah, that is astounding.
Talk about blunders. That was a great one, too, where he said, you know, he holds up the card. Yeah, these are the people I'm going to call on. And gee whiz.
I can just see his handlers going, you know, Joe, we've been doing that this whole time. You were just supposed to not say anything about it. Just hold the card and call on the reporters, right?
Yes, for sure. It is remarkable. And I want to just mention election integrity is so important. And that is one of the things that is so interesting about the 2020 election is many of us did not have any idea that we had these potential vulnerabilities that we need to fix. And it is very important that we have free, fair, honest elections. And as we're only now, what, about a year and a half from the 2022 elections, it's tomorrow. And we need to be working on this, Alan.
Hey, you know, to go along with that, don't ever let the fear of election vulnerability scare you away from going to the ballot box. That's no excuse. I mean, what happened down in Georgia after the presidential election, the fact that we just had to win one of two Senate seats and we would control the Senate, but Republicans just didn't show up in Georgia. You know, don't let the fear of these things keep you from going in. You have to have faith that your vote is going to count, and you need to advocate for it, certainly, but don't just not show up because it doesn't matter or because you think somebody's going to twist your ballot or stuff the ballot for the opponent. You have to show up because seeing numbers and not being the silent majority is what matters, especially in these elections.
It really is going to matter. The other thing is, though, there is a responsibility to voting. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other night, and we have mail-in voting here in Colorado, one of the few states. Of course, we see the Harris, Biden, Obama, Rice administration are wanting to have mail-in voting across the nation. And there is something positive on kind of the ease of voting, to be able to sit down at your kitchen table and look at these issues and vote on that. The problem is what I've seen is, and I think inherently Americans realize this right to vote is, it is sacred, it's treasured, and so you don't want to waste it. And so we would see vote. But you have to know what's going on. If you don't do the hard work to understand the issues and understand the candidates, you have a civic responsibility to not vote.
Yeah, and the other difference is, you know, in Colorado, we've had a Republican Secretary of State up until the latest election for mm-hmm. the longest time. You know, when we established this mail-in ballot, it took time to set it up. It took time to do it right. And even though we get our ballots mailed, you and I both know, we still have the option to drop them off physically mm-hmm. to the site. We don't have to trust the post office service, which I probably wouldn't trust to mail $100 mm-hmm. to my grandmother. But, you know, just sweeping in and allowing these mail-in elections without having an established system is wrong. And then, you know, what our Secretary of State did when she said we're not going to allow any
third-party
audits, you know, a lot of times with this, it's also the perception that matters, right? You have to do the right thing by what is perceived. And gosh, when you say you're not going to allow third-party audits, it sure looks like you're trying to hide something. And they may not be, who knows? But when it looks like that with such an important institution to the American idea, yeah, you're going to get some backlash and you're going to get some angry people saying, why? Why are you doing this?
Well, and the question is if there's no there, then why not take a look at it? And so that is very important. And, you know, Alan, I think there's going to be new information coming out regarding the legislature passed that we would have mail-in voting here. And that was, again, I think it was Democrat. And what mail-in voting does, when everybody gets a ballot, you see this mass voter registration and then the expense of all of these ballots being sent out. And if you go get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. And people do say ease of voting, people like the ease of voting. Yes, on one hand, but yet on the other hand, we've gotten lazy. And there has to be some effort. There has to be some responsibility for this right to vote, Alan.
Well, yeah, there has to be self-assertion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want lazy people voting for my next politician, for somebody that's supposed to represent me. I want you to know who he is and why you're voting for him. There needs to be some thought put into it. And yeah, just allowing any Joe Schmo just to sit there and you know, just mark names, doesn't sit right with those of us that do a lot of work that mm-hmm. research into these issues. And I'm never going to say that they shouldn't be allowed to. I'm not going to say advocate it for any sort of control, but certainly just making it as easy as possible to stuff the ballot boxes isn't the right solution either.
Well, it really isn't. And I think the solution, because the ease of voting, and I said to my friend, she said, I like to sit down and be able to take the time at the kitchen table. I said, well, you could always have requested an absentee ballot. And she said, well, I didn't request that because I wasn't going to be absent. And I thought, well, I appreciate her character on that. But that is what I really think that we should do, is people, either you go to the ballot box or you request an absentee ballot. And we've got to get these voter rolls all cleaned up. It's super important.
That and just the trickiness of some of these issues, right? I mean, you see it with the titles of the initiatives, of the propositions, when they say something, but they don't actually mean that. You know, the good example was the PAWS Act. You know how it said it was for animals, for animal cruelty, but actually it was just a complete anti-agriculture. You know that's going to confuse some people, and what they actually put on the ballot matters, and that's tricky, especially when talking about voting.
And that's why I do a voter's guide, and go through the issues, and hopefully that's a good tool. But let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with you about this very important piece that you've done regarding a school choice is only half the issue. Stay tuned. And before we go to break, I've got Catherine Mills with Castlegate Knife and Tool on the line. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having us. We always love listening to you and interacting with your audience, and just really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, and it was really fun last week to see you. You were actually doing some of the cooking for the beer brats and blades, which was at Castlegate. It was Dad Appreciation Day, and that was really fun. So you do everything, right, Kathleen?
Well, yes. So I joined Castlegate about 2 months ago, and I'm primarily responsible for marketing, media, community outreach. So lots of different hats, but I was asked to step up to the grill. So hopefully I didn't poison anyone.
No, it was a great brat for sure. And since you've been with Castlegate for a couple of months, it's really a great little family-owned business. But what's your take on that?
Yes, yeah, so we are a family-owned business located in Sedalia, Colorado, and we specialize in all things knife and blade. We are proud to be America's knife source, so if you are looking for a knife, anything from the generalist up to the avid collector, we have you covered, and our in-house gurus, Mr. Bill and the rising guru, Brent, are able to answer any questions if someone's just around looking or looking to learn a little bit more. We're also available on all social media platforms, Facebook being our primary, so anyone can look us up at Castlegate Knife and Tool. But if you're looking or prefer a different platform, at Castlegate Knives is usually our at sign. And, you know, we post videos every week. We do live technical sessions. It's all about spreading the knife knowledge so that people really know what to look for when they're going out looking for knives or looking to enhance their collection or just looking for a community that really understands the history and value that it's brought to the American Patriot.
Well, and one other thing, we're in summertime now, and there's a lot of weddings. People, after things opening up, there's a lot of weddings. And I've gotten, for a couple of different weddings, I went to some very nice steak knife sets that the bride and groom, they both couples just really, really appreciated that. So it was a gift that I was so proud to give, and they certainly were happy to receive that. Catherine Mills with Castlegate Knife and Tool, what is the best way to reach you guys?
You can reach us at www.castlegate.com or stop at the store at Sedalia, Colorado.
And again, that website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. Thank you, Catherine, with Castlegate. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And when you sign up for that newsletter, you will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent podcast. And we will be publishing this op-ed by Alan Thomas, School Choice is Half the Issue. Important. We talk about school choice a lot, and it seems to me to make sense that parents would have a choice for the education of their children. And of course, great neighborhood schools, that is wonderful. However, school choice is super important. But you said it's only half the issue. Why?
And I'm not going to say that school choice is an important issue to advocate for, and I would never tell anybody to stop that fight. You know, charter schools, being able to change school districts is a very important issue. But that's only half the battle, because there's only so far that some parents can go. You know, not everybody can afford to send their kid to a private school or to a charter school. Not every parent can homeschool their kid. You know, if they're working two jobs just to make ends meet, you know, their transportation is limited. So what options are available to the parents who don't have really an option of sending their kid elsewhere? And curriculum is a major half of that issue. It just makes me think, why do so many people want to send their kids to these classically trained charter schools? Why do kids want to put their kid into a private religious school to teach their kids? Well, most of the time it's because they don't think that what is being taught at public schools is good for their kid. So they skirt the issue. I'm not saying that they're purposely skirting or that they're being lazy by doing that. They're doing what's best for their kid. But we forget that the progressives have been playing a very, very long game with education, and they have taken a stranglehold on the curriculum that's being taught to our kids. So while school choice is an excellent option for many, it doesn't mean that we should stop fighting for curriculum for those that don't have a choice. Because for the kids that don't have a choice, they're still going to get this public education that's substandard, that's ideologically indoctrinating them. And if we give up on that fight too early or too quickly, we're not doing a service to all the future voters, like we were talking about, who are just going to sit back and not have that civic knowledge about what their country is based on, that don't believe in an objective, findable truth. So we really need to be advocates for curriculum in the public arena, because it's very important not only to the students that are going through it, but it's very important for our country and generationally for the future.
Alan, you mentioned that the radical, progressive, regressive, really, they call themselves progressive, but they wanted to regress back to the elites and the bourgeoisie, if you will. And they have been playing the long game, and we haven't realized it. We've been asleep at the wheel. We've let this happen. And it is now time that we understand it. Our kids are falling behind because there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. How is that being utilized? Are they being taught reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking? Or we've seen in a number of different school districts, critical race theory, which instead of teaching kids that in America, you work hard, opportunity, you can be a success. Anybody can. That's the great equalizer is the American idea, is that everybody has this opportunity. But they're taking time in the school day to divide us through critical race theory or sexualizing our children. I mean, there's things that are being taught to little kids that is beyond belief. I think a lot of parents, A, don't believe that it could happen. It is happening. We need to make a change.
And that's where it comes down to. It's your right and responsibility, more importantly, as a parent, to know and to educate your child. Just handing your kid off to school just to act as a daycare doesn't work anymore. Like you said, there was a video circulating that for kindergartners, teaching them about sex, and you're like, that's not something that should be taught to a kindergartner. You know, in Aurora here, there was a teacher that said no matter what his school board said, and granted, it's a pretty left school board anyway, he was probably safe, but he said he was going to teach critical race theory regardless. So we as parents have to take an interest in not only the things that are done at a school board level, but more importantly, things that are done at a school and even at a teacher level. Knowing who that teacher is and making sure that your kid isn't enrolled in his class is a good step towards it. You know, being there with your kid and seeing what they're being taught and saying, you know what, this isn't right. And teaching your kid what actually is true, what this country actually is founded on, teaching them that it was the only nation founded on this wonderful idea that all men and women are created equal. You know, you have to take a much stronger role in the education of your child because, like you said, we fell asleep at the wheel and we didn't fight for this institution of education, and it's gotten away from us. And it's going to take a long time to get it back, but it's a relentless fight, and it's a fight that we need to start now and hope that by the time our kids have kids or our great-great-grandchildren go through the public education system, that it'll be back on track. But we have to do like the progressives did and just needle our way in there, you know, and make small gains wherever we can, and to not give up, to not get discouraged, and to do what's best for our children in the long run.
And they are our children. And now there's always this argument that for a public education, that there's parents that don't care so much about their kids. And so that's why we have this big public education program. I think that's pretty... I think almost every parent cares deeply about their child.
I mean, it's what the progressives do, right? They try and find a minority of people and try and make the argument based on them, right? We see these gunmen who go out and shoot people, not realizing that there's millions and millions of
firearm
owners all around the country that don't commit a crime each day. But they find this tiny subsection of the population and say, we need a rule for everybody based on that one person.
That is so interesting that you bring that up. Tucker Carlson just recently reported that there was actually that it looks like the FBI has been involved in kind of pushing or instigating some of these young men that have been doing these attacks. And there's going to be more to find out about that. But to then use those incidents to try to take more and more of our Second Amendment rights away. Again, the truth is coming out. This is such an interesting time that we're living in right now, Alan Thomas.
It really is. And you know, you talked about it earlier, but, you know, parents being home during this pandemic and seeing what their kids are actually being taught was huge. To see that that teachers, despite the statistics saying that they're perfectly safe, not wanting to go back to work is huge. And just seeing these teachers unions not advocate and fight for kids, again, is huge. And, you know, the other half of this issue, I'm talking a lot about what parents can do and their rights and responsibilities. The other half of the issue is the teachers themselves.
And it's difficult.
It's very difficult, especially being a conservative teacher. I mean, we've seen what happens at a higher education level, especially over here at CU, but that's happening even more so at K through 12. You know, there was a teacher who stood up, I believe in Connecticut, Tanner Cross. I know that's his name. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but he stood up at a school board meeting and said, "I'm not going to teach my young kids about critical race theory. I'm not going to teach them that transgenderism is right and okay." And the school district tried to get rid of him. He was at a public forum. He was speaking his mind as somebody, as a part of the public, at a school board meeting. And luckily, the court came down and said, no, he has every right to speak his mind at a public forum to represent himself. But we need to do more to empower teachers to say, hey, here's what my administration is telling me to teach. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't want to teach these half-truths. I don't want to teach these. I want to teach your kids and set them up to be the best that they can be. But they don't feel empowered to do that because of cases like Tanner Cross, where they're worried that both their peers and their administration won't let them even do that.
They're concerned for their jobs. They're right. Concerned for their pensions. We see that across the spectrum now in America. I've talked to conservatives that they're afraid to say something because they don't want to lose their job.
Right. I mean, who would? I mean, when that's what you're now tens of thousands of dollars into debt just to be a school teacher who doesn't make that much. Boy, you don't want to threaten your livelihood just for this. But at the same time, it is their responsibility to stand up for the kids. It is their responsibility to teach the truth. And we as parents need to empower that. And we need to not only empower it, but encourage it. You know, when you have a good teacher, supporting them any way possible is what we need to do. Because, you know, it's the old adage, one negative thing counts as, what, seven positive things. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one parent that comes in and complaining, they're going to need a vast majority of other parents saying, I like what you're doing. You're teaching the truth. You're teaching my kid what they need to be taught. You're not just teaching to the test. I mean, that's a whole nother aspect of this issue that we don't, that kind of gets buried a little bit in this. But we really need a voice that empowers teachers to actually go out there and do their jobs and teach our kids what they need to be taught.
Well, and Alan, you mentioned something about the teachers don't get paid that much. And if they've taught for a long time, there is a healthy salary there. And then the benefits, the pension is significant. But I'd done some research on this, and Baltimore, actually, the results for their kids there is terrible. But this was a 2019 report that Baltimore Public Schools spends more than $17,000 in taxpayer funds per student. So let's think about that. A class of 20 kids, that's $340,000. You could pay teachers a whole lot more. Where is all that money going?
Well, and I kind of touch on it in the article. It's the massive bureaucratic state that exists within our education systems. You know, especially some of the larger school districts, the non-teacher pay gets to be absurd. I forget who was talking about this, but they were talking about in New York City somewhere, there is, since they're unionized, a janitor can get paid more than a principal of a school based on their union job and years of service worked. And listen, janitorial, not a diss on janitorial duties or the necessity of them, but in what way is the janitor more important to the education of your kid than the school principal? And I'm talking about, I believe it was a $150,000 job for a janitor in a New York school versus $130,000 for the principal. And you see things like this, and again, it's the unions. It's making it, it's empowering non-teacher pay, and then it's also preventing the school district from firing bad teachers.
Yes.
You know, they make it so airtight so that bad teachers, substandard teachers, can't even get fired. So what do? Well, they convert those bad teachers into bureaucrats. They just move them around in the system so that they're still paying them and they still have a job, but they're no longer teaching your kids. And that's wrong. That's really unjust to do with our taxpayer dollars, and it's not fair to our kids, and it's not fair to us.
Well, it isn't. And a bad teacher, you can't get that school year back for a kid. You can't get third grade back. And of course, what we saw happen under this pandemic, I think a lot of kids suffered on that as well. But we're going to go to break. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. He's got an important op-ed. School choice is only half the issue. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is just a great sponsor of the show. Check out their website. That's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And always love having Alan Thomas in studio. He is an author, and he has written a really important piece, School Choice is Half the Issue. And during break, Alan, you mentioned, and this is a question, and this kind of goes back to the op-ed that you did last month, on if we really are freedom people, then we probably shouldn't use force to push back on this. It's a daunting question, actually. What's your thoughts?
Well, and it's daunting. What spurred it on is Governor DeSantis down in Florida just signed a bill not only banning critical race theory, but he went a step further and said that our kids have to be taught American values and what America really is. And, you know, conservatives are lauding him. And while I don't disagree that it's a good thing, at the same time, you wonder if you're handing Democrats a playbook to be used against us later. Mm-hmm. Because the political pendulum always swings. And just because we have a Republican governor now, not we here in Colorado, mm-hmm. down in Florida, that's going to swing eventually. They're going to get a Democratic governor. And do we want to give them the ability to mandate curriculum at a state level all the way down to our kids? And I made the argument last month that we don't want to give them that we want local control as much as possible. And that doesn't mean, sometimes conservatives, we have this grand idea that every school board will be teaching American values, will be advocating for America first and the American founding and this idea. But what that actually means is that communities will actually begin to teach what they believe most, and that there will be some very liberal school boards. But on the flip side, there will be some very conservative ones and some ones that really advocate for teaching our kids. And really at that point, it's voting with our feet, right? It's moving to places that are going to give our kids the best future and being willing to do that. And, you know, that's a very difficult decision to make as a parent, choosing between jobs and also choosing between the education of your child. But these are the decisions we have to make, and giving control to the local level, to schools, to school boards, allows us to vote with our feet and not just have to leave the state. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot easier to move from Arapahoe County to Douglas County. It's a lot harder to move from Colorado to Florida. Mm-hmm. Increasing your commute by 30 minutes to an hour is a lot different than just saying, I have to pack up and find a whole new job, new career, new friends. So we need to be advocating for control to be as local as possible. And I would just caution us against advocating for control at state and federal levels.
This is a really interesting point, because you are looking into the future, and there is danger when we push control, you know, up the ladder. I really lauded Trump during this whole pandemic, where he did not do these mandates, and that he said that it's up to the states. And that is really how it is supposed to be. What you're describing is federalism. And I've always found it so interesting. Even as an adult, I didn't quite understand the difference between federalism and statism, because federalism means that the control goes is more local. It's with the individual in the states. And so that's the word federalism. Statism means that the federal government has more of the control. It took me a while to get that right in my brain. I know it's a small thing, but hopefully that might help some people out there.
I mean, it is a small thing, but it's important because, we bring up the Second Amendment a lot. Right? The Second Amendment doesn't technically apply to states. It applies to the federal government. We just are lucky that a lot of states have said, hey, we're also going to adopt the Second Amendment and keep it. But the framers of the Constitution...
Now, a question, because it seems like that those kinds of, like the Constitution, though, trumps everything, right? That at least
it enumerated the powers to the federal government and then basically left a lot of powers very open to the state government. So a lot of state governments adopted the constitutional idea, but there is a lot of gray area. I mean, you've seen a lot of cases decided regarding the Second Amendment at a state level get upheld quite often because the states have a lot more power than the federal government does because the powers aren't enumerated for the states, right? Which is important, which means that we can control our states and we can enact more control at a state level than we can at the federal mm-hmm. level, which gives us states like California and Texas. That's why people are fleeing California like crazy, because the founding fathers said, hey, you know, you can try things out at a state level and see if they work, and the people will move or they won't. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a bad idea, if what the state is doing is too much, well, then people are going to leave that state. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have California who's taxing just at ridiculous rates, people aren't going to stand for that. They're going to move. So when it comes to education, that again becomes very important because if you don't believe in this idea of control and force, then you don't want your state to have that, because what's going to happen is when that force is used for you, it can very easily be used against you.
That is a really important point. One other thing to talk about federalism, California, New York, Texas, Florida, is the founders did want to have states have sovereignty. And so we'd have this petri dish of different issues. There were some big things that certainly are important from the federal government, in the Constitution. But they wanted the states to have, it was this experiment, all these different states doing different things. The problem we have now is the federal government has grown so big. So if California makes bad choices and people leave, they go to the federal government for money for their bad choices. Mm-hmm. It was never supposed to be like that.
Well, and the federal government also holds money over the state's heads, right? That's why we have standardized testing, really. Is the federal government dangles this money over the heads of the states and says, you either do what we say or we won't give you the money. We see it all the way down to transportation now, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the federal government threatens to withhold money if a state does something they don't like and forces them to do something. So this is a very scary proposition when the federal government's in charge of everything, because, you know, when you can control the money and you can control the ideas and the thoughts and the minds of people, you don't have freedom. And we need to educate our kids again on to have a good civic base and a good civic knowledge, because if you don't understand the country that you have, you don't understand not only what it is, but why it was built that way, you won't understand the threats that these sort of things happen. You know, you have to, Ben Franklin said, you have a republic if you can keep it, right? That required a lot of self-assertion, a self-reliance on the people to say, hey, you need to know what this government is, because our government isn't just a simple, it's not a monarchy, right? A monarchy is really easy.
Colorado's kind of a monarchy right now.
Yeah, with all the
executive order.
Exactly. You have a king, you have his dictates, and you either follow them or you get in trouble, right? Our system of government is very difficult. It's very complicated. It's very convoluted. It takes study and it takes time to know it. You can know it, and it is based on the human condition. It's based on absolute truth. It's a great system of government to reflect all the understanding we have of people, but it takes effort. And it's not something that's simple to do. And when you have a generation or two that is no longer educated on the type of country that they have, on the republic that they have.
And they're educated to hate it sometimes. We're seeing that. We're seeing educating kids to hate our country. And if it was such a bad country, why is everybody wanting to come here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that argument is certainly valid. And you're exactly right. When you're taught to hate the country, the funny thing is they try and use the avenues that were created for them to hate against their own government that wouldn't be available in dictatorships,
right.
For instance. You know, you can't go around saying that Putin is an awful leader of Russia. If you live in Russia, you might find yourself suicided or gone from the planet or put into concentration camps like the Uyghurs in China. So it is interesting that even though they hate our country, the liberty that has been granted to them allows them to hate our country. But when you have a generation that isn't raised to learn that, we get into some issues. And because our country is based on the general population have a good civic knowledge of what our country is.
Well, and so we have a lot of work. But I say we've been asleep at the wheel. I think we've also been kind of lazy, kind of, happy. We have not done the hard work. I served on city council for 4 years, and it was a lot of work, and we did get a small stipend. But it was kind of a big aha. Because I looked at it as service. Now, there are people that look at it as pushing agendas or a career or whatever in politics. But what I found interesting as I started to figure out this whole bureaucratic administrative thing is that there's staff that are getting hefty salaries and pensions, and they don't have to stand for election. And I thought, there's something that's not right about this. Your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, it's also what Trump went into D.C. to do, to drain the swamp, right? And
they didn't.
We didn't realize how vast the swamp is, yeah. And it's not a swamp that's just in D.C. To be perfectly honest, like you said, you're seeing aspects of a swamp at a local city council in Lone Tree.
Well, and they were good people. I don't want to say
they aren't, but. But there are aspects of bureaucracy that are absolutely all the way down to the local scale. And we have to pay attention to that. We have to know what it is about. And we have to honestly kind of drain the swamp starting at our local level. Because if we don't fix it at a local level, how can we even ask to do it at a federal level?
Excellent point.
Because we're only enabling it in our own backyard. You know, in the Bible it says, you know, take the log out of your own eye before taking the speck out of your brother's. You know, it's basically saying,
speak for yourself.
Yeah. So we have to do the hard work back at home in our own backyards. And it is hard work.
It is hard work.
One could argue that as conservatives, we are working hard, right? That we're trying to earn our living, which is why we don't have as much time to devote to some of these issues. But it doesn't excuse our silence in these elections and in these issues. And it's going to be hard work, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be overnight. There's going to be failure associated with it, but don't give up, because this fight is worth fighting for. The future of our children depend on it. So learn from those mistakes, learn from the failures, empower yourself or people that follow you who are passionate about this, and advocate for the right curriculum, for the things to be taught to our kids, advocate for freedom versus force, and don't give up on it. Don't become disheartened, because there are patriots all around fighting for it as well. So we just need to find each other, encourage one another, and keep fighting the good fight.
That's for sure. Alan Thomas, it is always so much fun to have you in studio.
It's always great being here, Kim.
Okay, and be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you will get first look at his very important op-ed, and that is school choice is half the issue. So our quote for today is from B.B. King, and he said, "A day that I don't learn something new is a wasted day. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone, my friends. God bless you, and God bless America.